is a disaster trying to tell you something. If you live in the path of a storm, in the wreckage of some fire or earthquake, does your home cease to be your home? For the people who chose to stay in places that seemed to be at risk now a year after Sandy arrived on the East Coast, home is still home. The same is true, though, even in places that have suffered disasters that we think of as moonscapes, toxic ghost towns, radioactive deserts. Chernobyl in the Ukraine is such a place, and people still call it home. The same is true at the tsunami-destroyed Fukushima nuclear plant in Japan. Photojournalist Michael Forster Rothbart went there to find out why people stay in such places, and he left with some real insights about his own ideas of home.
I was spending time in Ukraine, and my commitment to this project started when I realized how often journalists and photojournalists distort a story like Chernobyl. They come in just for a day or two, and they expect danger, they expect despair, and so that's what they photograph, that's what they write about. And they come away with these disturbing pictures of children with birth defects or abandoned buildings. And that's part of the story, of course, but that's not the full story. There is suffering, of course, but there's also joy and beauty. You don't suffer every single day of your life. And people have this amazing endurance and hope. And that's what I wanted to bring to light.
So what is the question that you really posed to people or occurred to you as you went to these places that, in many ways, and for most of us in the world, are uninhabitable?
I ended up spending 2 years in Chernobyl, actually living there. And what really fascinated me was finding out why people stay. I mean, there's probably as many reasons for staying as people I talked to, but really the themes I saw is for some, it was a lack of alternatives. People feeling, yes, like that there was nowhere else to go. For many people, it's really the deep ties to the land. It's hard for us to understand in this country because we're so transient, but people who have lived in the same village, in the same house for generations are reluctant to move, and they'll even face a lot of hardships in order to stay put.
Do you think there's a universal answer to the question of why people stay in the path of Sandy in places like Chernobyl and Fukushima? Is there some psychological outlook that you can see in all three of those places and everywhere where people decide to stay?
It's interesting you ask that. I just had a conversation with the filmmaker Holly Morris, who's making a beautiful film about the Samosiele, the old woman who have remained in the exclusion zone. And she said that she thinks there's a force stronger than radiation, and that's the power of home. When we say home, that has such resonance to us because it has so many meanings, but it's sort of the emotional community we have, the community of people around us, and we're constantly uprooting and tearing apart those connections and then having to rebuild them. And so if you live all your life in one place, you'd choose to keep those connections rather than keep your own health. One woman I talked to said, I'd rather have 5 years of health in this place than 10 years of despair in the city.
Hmm. Do you envy that notion of home in your own life, so strong that it can face a disaster, radiation, tsunami?
Yeah, of course I envy that. When you love a place, you really hate to leave it. But if it changes so much that it's no longer recognizable, then maybe you're better leaving.
Michael Forster Rothbart's new TED book out this week is called Would You Stay? It's a look at the survivors of Chernobyl and Fukushima who dug in their heels after tragedy and stayed. Some of his images are also on exhibit this year in Connecticut.
Let me get right to the point, then. I don't think you ought to go.
You can't lie in front of the bulldozers indefinitely.
I'm game. We'll see who rusts first.
If you're staying there, you're just stupid.
This is my hood. I'm staying right here. I want to see what happens.
Darling, you gotta let me know. Should I stay or should I go?
That's the question. Why do people stay in disaster zones?
Hi, this is Emily from Charleston, South Carolina. I figured it can't all be good down here. We'll take a hurricane every 20 years for 19 great years in the meantime.
The risks are worth it, according to Emily. Thanks for that. From Everett, Washington, I live north of Seattle. We get high winds and flooding. The winds are only occasionally disastrous, and the flooding gets worse all the time as the area gets more developed. I will stay here as my kids and my life is here. I've been fortunate with weather. Let's hope it stays that way out there in Everett. I'm John Hockenberry. Call us at 8778-MY-TAKE with your sense of home to weigh in on the reasons why we stay.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.